So, good evening, everybody. And before I start my talks on practice of compassion, I think I'm going to bow down the process of bowing down to the compassion, which is written by the Chandrakirti, the great scholar from India. He was one of the most important disciples of the Nagarjuna. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the book on Middle Path. Mm-hmm. And actually, Middle Path, that text was like a most clear explanation on the emptiness nature of the phenomena. So I'm going to recite that, and then I will start talking on the practice of compassion. Okay, so this is the this stanza. I think you all are wondering, what does that mean? So, and I translate. Actually, my English is not that much good. I took it from the English translation from one book, and the meaning of which right now I recited, that is something like, since compassion itself is seen as the seed of a victorious one's rich harvest. As water for its growth and as ripening into a source of long enjoyment, I therefore first bow to compassion. So the meaning is, the meaning of that recitation is something like that. So actually, all the Buddhist scholar except Chandrakirti in India and in Tibet, before they write down something, they always bow down to their master or to the Buddha or the some deities or something like that. And it is very uncommon in our tradition that very unique scholar bowing down to the compassion. So we say that it has a very specific meaning behind that. And it is something like, if I tell you in a very short, why he bowed down to the compassion. As in his word, it says that compassion is like the seed, is like the water, is like the ripening of the fruits of one tree. So it is very important in the beginning, it is very important in the middle, it is very important in the at the end. For one tree, at the beginning the seed is most important. So at the middle, that to grow, that water is the most important. And when it, at the end, the fruit is the most important. So something like compassion is important at the beginning of the Mahayana or, Bodhisattva practice, it says that. To do a Bodhisattva practice, that compassion is like a seed, compassion is like a water, compassion is like a fruit. So, and the meaning, something like it is very important, like it is acting very most important role in all the Bodhisattva practice. And that is why he bowed down to the compassion. And in another reason is that he was going to write something about the emptiness, the nature, the ultimate nature of the phenomena. What is the reality? What is the reality of the phenomena or existence? Mm-hmm. So it is something like talking about the wisdom. So it says that the Lama Tsongkhapa, the great scholar from the Tibet, who is the founder of the Gelugpa tradition, that where I studied, that Lama Tsongkhapa, when he was writing a book on emptiness, and he wrote a lot of, you know, explanation on the emptiness. And there are many Tibetan scholars, and there were many Indian scholars who wrote a lot of things about the emptiness, what is emptiness, and, you know, something like that. And there are many different views that what is emptiness. So many, many interpretation, many different interpretation on what is emptiness, you know. So then Lama Tsongkhapa, you know, he said one time that he said that there are many, many different interpretation on emptiness, and but he said that the most important thing, if the view, if the understanding of the emptiness, which will help to grow or to develop compassion, that is the real understanding of emptiness. So that is like something, you know, there something we have to understand. So why it says something like that? You know, understanding of the emptiness, that in the Buddhist scripture, you will see that the understanding of the emptiness is the most important wisdom. And developing love and compassion for all the sentient being is the most important method site. So these two is something like, if we say understanding is a wisdom, it is the mind. It is within the mind. And love and compassion is within our heart. It is coming from our heart. So this is something like, you know, making both like wisdom side and the method side. In another word, I can say opening the mind and opening the heart. You know, that is like very important. So we like, sometimes we use the example as like for the bird to fly from one, from this corner to another, you know, this samsari or this ocean, this corner to another corner, what the bird needs is, the bird needs to grow both of the wings. So it is like, you know, two wings for one bird, you know, bird like method and the wisdom. I mean, understanding of the emptiness and the, you know, what's it, developing love and compassion. So this is like playing very important role in the Buddhist practice. So today, so we are going to, I'm going to say a little bit about the compassion, like what is, you know, compassion and how to practice compassion and what is the benefit of compassion in our daily life. So compassion, actually, I always think that, you know, when I say compassion, just the word compassion in English, I think sometimes it is making a lot of misunderstanding for the people. That in our Tibetan language, we don't have enough word to say that. What is compassion? It is just an experience or the feeling that somebody has to feel. It is out of word. So we, in Tibetan language word, what we use for the compassion is Nying Je. Nying means heart. Je means the chief or the king. So what is the meaning bringing from that? Like king of the heart or the chief of the heart or something like that. So, you know, Nying, the heart, which is, we are not talking about this physical heart. I think we are talking about the emotion. It is chief of the emotion, the best one within the emotion, you know. So that is, you know, like from the words, like actually I don't know much about from the English word, but I can give a definition from the Tibetan word Nying Jie is the chief of the heart, or the best one among the emotion. And I don't know the compassion words bringing this kind of meaning from this English word, the compassion. So sometimes people get, you know, a lot of interpretation on what is compassion, you know. And many people, like, we just think that, okay, compassion is something like a pity. Many people think that they mix up with a pity. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we mix up with a mercy, mm-hmm. you know. So, and I don't know how to differentiate this, you know, compassion, pity, and the mercy. But from my point, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure. But I'm thinking that if we use the word compassion for the, you know, direct translation of the Nyingje, then piti is completely different. Piti means maybe looking down. It is like, you know, something like we are thinking, okay, I am, you know, higher than you, and you are lower than me, and I'm feeling piti on you. So that's the feel, like pity. And I don't know that is compassion or not. You know, it is negative emotion, I think. Mm-hmm. If we feel pity with a pride, a lot of pride and proud, mm-hmm. you know, feeling kind of like looking at the other people lower than us. Mm-hmm. So that is, I can tell, that is not compassion. That is not Nyingje. So then what is compassion? You know, compassion is completely kind of like, maybe most of us, if I don't know, there are, if people who are practicing, you know, like advanced practice, maybe, you know, there are some. But for the ordinary people, that if we say compassion, I feel compassion for you, means something kind of like, you know, feeling like if somebody is feeling sad or unhappy, and when we show our compassion to that person, we interpret, or the meaning which we think what is compassion is something we have to feel sad and unhappy. But from the Buddhist way of, you know, explanation of the compassion is not something like that. The compassion, like even we say that the Buddha, who already been enlightenment, you know, who already achieved the enlightenment state of mind, they have also emotion like compassion. So they feel compassion for every sentient being. And they feel compassion, but they don't feel unhappy, they don't feel sad. So if we think like that, then we will find something, little meaning of the compassion. So compassion is not something that we have to feel sad and we have to feel unhappy. It is just the emotion that it is taking care of other person. Mm-hmm. Taking care, you know. It is caring. Caring for other people. So that is why, you know, there is a lot of, things to say that what is compassion? You know, and the whole world, I think maybe we, like, unconsciously, we are thinking that, okay, you know, if we say, if there is a one mother, like, you know, like, compassion is something like that. The mother, her own beloved son, you know, how that mother feeling to that her beloved son, like, kind of caring, that kind of emotion, we say that is the compassion. That just, you know, caring, kind of like, emotion, that is, you know, compassion. And then, I don't know, if the whole world will think, if that mother, you know, if her son was suffering, like, you know, in the misery, and if that mother was not feeling suffering, then what will we say? How do we interpret? We will say, oh, that mother is not loving her child. That mother is not having compassion for her son, right? So that is, we interpret like that. So we have a, like, in our unconscious mind, we define compassion as something like that. When somebody is feeling unhappy, we have to feel unhappy. It happened many times, right? So it is difficult. Actually, it is very difficult, you know. It is beyond something that we never experienced. That is why, you know, that is why we, if somebody say this kind of emotion or this kind of compassion or this kind of love is exist, I think not many people will believe that, because we didn't experience, you know, that kind of emotion before. So actually, something like when we're talking about the emotion, like a compassion, like a great compassion, or like a genuine love, you know, or like a emptiness, or something, you know, experience of the great spiritual master. And many times, I think unconsciously our mind, or we don't believe, we don't accept that. Because, you know, it is difficult to put it into word. It is very difficult to put it into work, like words. Like it cannot, these kind of things are just to experience by oneself. It is not to, like, there is no enough words to explain that. Actually, like, I was telling one, like, it just happened when I was in India, okay? I will tell that. That one of my friend, you know, like, she came from West to India, and I met her there. And then, like, she was keep asking me question about some spiritual stuff. And then, what one of the, her question, main important question was that she was keep asking me, what is Rigpa? You know, so Rigpa is kind of like a, I don't know, Rigpa. So it is like a ultimate understanding of something, you know. So actually, she heard that and she knows that about a little bit. What is, and then she wants to know, you know, what I think from my point of view. And then, you know, I have a little time, but she keeps insisting me about that. And if I tell in a detail, then it takes a long time. And if I cannot tell in a very short. So then I at that time I have a chocolate in my hand. And what I did, and then I thought, okay, eat this chocolate. And then I will ask you one question, and if you tell me that one, then I will tell you what is Rigpa. How does the Rigpa feel when you experience Rigpa? And then she ate the chocolate, and then I say, how does it taste? So then, like, she was like, it tastes like a chocolate, she said. And I know that if you say like that, it tastes like a chocolate, then I will say Rigpa is a Rigpa, you know. And then she said, oh, it's difficult, you know, I cannot put it into word, how does it taste, you know. And I say it's the most simple, that, you know, to say that you are experiencing, you know, you are feeling the sweetness in your tongue, of the, you know, taste of that, you know, chocolate, and you cannot, you know, express that in the word. The same thing, like most of the, you know, experience that people having, like when we talk about the love and compassion, like a genuine love and compassion, like a great compassion, you know, and then understanding of the emptiness. And many things, I think, it is something like that. Like it is, you know, like, if we interpret that, then it will take you into a different, many, many different kind of, like, you know, places, or, you know, misunderstanding or something like that. And that is why also sometimes I said that after Buddha become enlightened man, maybe you have heard that story, after Buddha become enlightened man, he didn't speak for 1 week. He didn't speak. He just spent 1 week, you know, just wandering by the, you know, like by the river or by the tree or something like that. He was thinking at that time, actually. He was thinking that he has experienced something. You know, he has experienced the taste of the enlightened. And then he doesn't know how to express that into word. And he was thinking that we say that story like that. So there is a meaning why Buddha, you know, after becoming enlightened, for 7 days he didn't speak. And then at the end, it is something like, we say that the story like goes like, you know, many devas, like from the higher, realm, mm-hmm. that comes down to earth, and then they pray, please Buddha, it is time for you to give a teaching. Mm. And wow. it's something like that. So, actually, it is very dangerous sometimes to put it into the word. Mm-hmm. That if we say something, then people interpret that in a different way. And then, you know, at the end, it will, the meaning will become something different. You know, something, I heard that in the West there is a game for the kids like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's a telephone game,
yeah.
right? It's, you know, sometimes the meaning, the first person who said at the end, it is completely, you know, opposite, you know. And it is just within few person, you know. Then if, say, if we go back, you know, for many, many years, then sometimes it become completely opposite, and sometimes it will, maybe it is right. So it is just, I was going not into the compassion. So that is like, you know, what is compassion? The compassion is the, you know, emotion which is caring for the other sentient being. And then there are three different kind of compassion which was explained in the text of the Middle Path, which was written by Chandrakirti himself, that, like we say, that compassion which is focusing merely on the suffering of sentient being, and compassion which is focusing on impermanence nature of the sentient being, and the compassion which is focusing on emptiness nature of the sentient being. So there are three different kinds of compassion, like we, you know, we divided the compassion like that. So what does these three compassion means? It is not something like compassion is focusing on the suffering, you know. Compassion is not focusing on the suffering. Compassion is not focusing on the impermanence. Compassion is not focusing on the emptiness. You know, compassion is just focusing on the sentient being. Then the words, you know, actually in the monastery we debate many times like that. You know, from the word, we say like that. So that is why we debate, like, you know, like if the word seems, it means something like compassion is focusing on the impermanence nature. You know, compassion is focusing on the emptiness nature, but it is not. It is not something compassion itself is focusing. It is saying that the compassion which is achieved by the practitioner, you know, that practitioner, you know, focusing his mind on the suffering, you know, focusing his mind on the suffering of the sentient being, and the compassion itself is coming from the heart, which is focusing on the sentient being. So it is something like that. So first, when we develop compassion, at that time, like we develop compassion, you know, that first our mind focusing on the suffering of the sentient being, and then our heart start, you know, opening the compassion, focusing on that, you know, that sentient being and caring, is something like that. That is the first level. And then, you know, after many understanding the nature, you know, impermanence nature of the sentient being, and after understanding the emptiness nature of the sentient being, then it will start growing more and more. That it is like a level. First, you know, first thing, the compassion start like focusing on the, you know, the practitioner focusing on the suffering, and then focusing on the impermanence nature, and then focusing on the emptiness nature. So like this, the, you know, compassion will progress, or something like that. I think that is what I want to say about what is compassion. And then, what is that? So, then how to develop that kind of compassion? You know, how to develop? And it is something like there are many traditional way to develop, you know, how to develop compassion. There are many, like, for example, like from the Tibetan way of, you know, like practicing, we says that first think all the sentient being as your mother, as you, like, all the sentient being one time your mother. But I don't know, it is, you know, fitting in the West or not. So I think better we should think like, you know, okay, all the sentient being, one time they become our beloved one, okay? So like that, you know, like something like we, you know, we born in this life as a human being, and we didn't know what we were in our past life. You know, like many time here, I came to know that many people believe here in the past life, and many people going to the past life therapist. And all the time, all the time, that nobody tell you that you have been, you know, your previous one was from animal region, right? Many times it is going through like, okay, you are from Egypt, okay. Queen of Egypt, okay. And like something like king of, you know, something England, or, you know, something like that. But in the reality, I think, you know, all the sentient being, it is, you know, it is not something that we are. Our previous life was from the human, you know, being realm. Maybe we are from somewhere from the Devas realm, or sometime maybe we are from the animal realm, you know. Maybe our previous one was dog, maybe our previous one was cat, or maybe our previous one was lion, right? So it is something like, you know, if somebody really believes in the previous life, then our previous life is beginningless. We think like that. You know, that is a little bit kind of realistic, but I'm not, you know, trying to prove myself as a right, that my belief is right. But there is a more reason behind that. If, you know, I'm not pushing you, that, or I'm not trying to prove that my belief is right or something like that. But, you know, it is something more useful. It is something more helpful if we think in that way. You know, that is what I'm thinking, that if we believe, if we, you know, search for the reason that is there a previous life, or is there a future life, or something like that, if we came to believe, or if we little bit doubt on that, then it will get a good, you know, like, let's say, relief. Mm-hmm. If we just believe only in this life, then our, you know, psychologically, our mind start thinking it is very short. You know, short. And then people, you know, people doesn't want to become a zero after they die, right? They don't want to become, you know, something, nothingness. You know, everybody scare, or everybody fear that if I become nothing, then they scare, they fear, right? If there is something, you know, after that, that I'm not becoming nothing, you know, that makes, that gives something kind of courage in the, you know, like for the people's mind. So that is why I think that, you know, previous life and future life, it is something helpful to believe, you know. And that is why, you know, in the Buddhism, we say that all the sentient being, all of us, that our life was beginningless. And everybody, we each other become our beloved before. You know, right now, maybe we forget it. When we were, you know, loving each other, when we were, you know, beloved to each other, at that time, how we care each other. And maybe everybody has done a lot of kindness, very, very big kindness to us, and we are forgetting that kindness. So thinking in that way, you know, that is the traditional way of developing kind of compassion. But I don't know, it is like a little bit like many times I said that how I give teaching to the West and how I give teaching to the, you know, to the Eastern people is a little bit different. I always say that. So that is why I'm not going to say many things, you know, how to develop compassion, talking about the previous life and the past life. You know, that is like many people we didn't see. Like we don't see our previous life. That is why it is a little bit difficult to believe for the people. But if we say from this life point of view, you know, then also, you know, like to develop compassion is something like, okay, what is my purpose of life? What is the purpose of my life? And many people are searching that, right? Everybody's searching that. You know, I've met a lot of people, you know, and everybody asking me many times that, you know, what is the purpose of my life? Yeah. And it is unconscious question lying within most of us. That, you know, many times we are thinking that, okay, I do something like that, like I find my career like that, and then we find that it is not satisfied, and then thinking that, oh, this is not my purpose, what is my purpose? Mm-hmm. You know, what is my purpose in this life? And I always say that is very simple. It is the simplest that we, everybody knows, but we forget. It is, happiness is the purpose of life, to become happy. That is why we are searching for happiness all the time. So, you know, then, see, look at ourselves. If we don't care for other people, we don't feel for compassion for other sentient being, then, you know, like from the, since this world was, you know, formed, since this human, you know, realm is formed, if we go to the history, look back to the history, you know, nobody has achieved ultimate happiness just by taking care of themselves, only themselves. You know, nobody has achieved. And if we do same, we will also remain like that, same. You know, and they never found, right? They never found happiness just being selfish, right? So that is why, that is also we think like that. Okay, happiness is my purpose, you know, purpose of my life. To become happy, to become myself happy person. That is my purpose. Then, you know, we have to understand which is more important, to make us ourselves happy, to being selfish or taking care of other sentient being. Then, like, investigate, you know, like, then we will find something. Okay, being selfish is not good, you know, and taking care of other people is good. Then why don't we try to develop that caring, you know, that caring, that kind of, you know, compassion, that kind of caring to other sentient beings. In that way, we will develop our compassion. So that is just a simple, you know, that if we really want happiness, you know, if we really want happiness, then it is something like, you know, take care of other sentient beings. And also, I always say that, you know, to develop love and compassion, to develop compassion for other sentient being, to take care of other sentient being, is also starting with taking care of oneself. You know, taking care of oneself. And then we are thinking that we are taking care of ourselves. We are thinking that we are making ourselves happy, right? But in a realistic way, then see if we are really making happy or not. Just, you know, then in reality, we are not taking care of ourselves that much. You know, so if we really take care of ourselves, then take care of other sentient beings. That is the way. Mm-hmm. You know, just do a little bit of unusual. Just, you know, if we keep going in this circle, you know, that everybody went through in the whole history, then we will also remain in this cycle all the time, you know. So the people like, you know, many people, you know, I'm not saying that only Buddha has become enlightened. Maybe in this world, a lot of people, you know, great master has become enlightened. And how they become enlightened is not something by, you know, dominating, you know, other people and, you know, something like killing other people or, you know, they didn't become something like that. For example, like, you know, they, in the whole history, if we look, there are, you know, two group of people or three group of people. You know, one is something like, you know, who took care of other sentient being and they achieve the ultimate happiness or something like that. The other people, just the ordinary people, you know, they live in a normal way and they, you know, something like that. And then there's the other group of people who try to dominate, who try to control and kill through killing and being selfish, you know. So through the history, if we look at something like that, then we will find, you know, some kind of value to the, you know, compassion. That everybody, you know, we all, I always think that, you know, why we like compassion? That is also out of question, right? Like we, like, I don't know. We don't know why we like compassion, why we like love, you know, why we like happiness also. That is also, we never know what is the answer. Just it is natural, right? Natural. Something like that. So that is why, you know, in general way, if I say how to develop compassion is something, if you really want happiness, you know, then, like, take care of other sentient beings through investigating yourself. That what is first step is understand what is the purpose of my life. That is, ask yourself. You know, we have to ask that. We have to practice that. You know, remind that. What is the purpose of my life? Then you will get answer. And keep that answer in your heart, in your mind, all the time. Don't forget that. Many times we are suffering because we forget that one. That is the most important question, you know, within our mind, that we forget that happiness is the purpose of life. If you don't forget, if you are a very good mindfulness person, then, you know, always remind that happiness is the purpose of life. You know, if we base, you know, something like our understanding based on something like, you know, understanding that one, then that person will change something. That person will, you know, not do something that will make himself unhappy. And, you know, we forget that. That is why, you know, first step is ask yourself, what is my purpose of my life? And then you will find the answer, happiness is the purpose of life. And then, okay, to become myself happy is the purpose of my life. Then, you know, how can I make myself happy? And that's the answer, what you will come is, taking care of other people will make you happy. So that is how, you know, we develop compassion, just in a general way. You know, if you really care yourself, then you have to develop compassion. And then, you know, something like that. Okay, so that is, you know, what I think about the compassion. Just, you know, actually, if, you know, we go through the Buddhist text or the ancient script, you know, then we can go into many, many scriptures, like, you know, and we talk a lot about, you know, like something like understanding every sentient being as a mother, you know, being one-time mother, and then how they, you know, become so kind, you know, and then, you know, what's it? Yuongi Champa means, you know, I cannot translate that. It means like love, like what's it? Cherishing love or something like that. Developing cherishing love. And then comes the, you know, compassion. And then another way we say like equalizing oneself with other. You know, then there is also one method to develop compassion. It is something like equalizing, you know, like oneself with other, that we are same, you know, and something. And then me, one person at one side, and all the sentient being at the other side, and thinking that which is more important, you know, one person or, you know, billions of sentient being, which is more important, and concentrating like that, you know. And then there is a practice kind of like a doing like a tonglen, you know, like through your breathing, like when you breathe in, it is like taking all the sentient beings' suffering or misery within you, and when you breathe out, you know, like giving all your virtuous deeds and your happiness and enjoyment and everything for the other sentient being. This kind of meditation, like Tonglen meditation we call, you know. So these kind of, you know, practice are there to develop compassion. And then something like if we go through the tantric's practice, you know, that in the tantric, in the Tibetan Buddhist, you know, tantric way, we say that compassion Buddha, that, you know, like we have a one Buddha whose name is Avalokiteshvara. And I think people in the Chinese language, or I don't know, it's Korean, the people in the, says the Kongnyen, right? Kongnyen is the, compassion Buddha. It is something like, then we visualize, you know, compassion Buddha, like we visualize ourselves as that Buddha, and then start, you know, residing the lights out of our heart, and then, you know, clean, like purifying all the misery and suffering of the sentient being, and something like this kind of many practice there are. So there are many, many different, you know, practice from the different levels. So that is just, you know, the easiest way is, I think, that in the general, just, you know, investigating oneself and how important is the compassion for one's life and to want to make ourselves happy. I think that is the easiest, that we can use our common sense. It is not something like, you know, we are believing in some religious things or spiritual things or something like that. Mm-hmm. It is something like common sense, you know. It is like everybody wants happiness, even though they are religious, non-religious, believer, non-believer, whatever, you know, that everybody wanted to be happy. And that is our rights, right, to make ourselves happy. So that is our, you know, that nobody will tell you to, like, why you are investigating how to become, you know, happy, right? Nobody will tell you. That is our right. That is, we have to do. So through, like, investigating like that, I think that is the easiest way to develop, you know, compassion. And then something like it is like, you know, to develop compassion is also not something like, first you have to develop compassion for one person. For example, one of, you know, like taking care of oneself, and then you are, you know, who is the one of the most important person for you, you know, your beloved one, most important. And then go through, you know, your relatives, you know, your friends, and something like first to one person, then to 10 person, then to 100 person, then to, you know, like 1,000, then to millions, something like mean sentient being. It is not something like, you know, you say like, okay, I'm going to feel compassion for all the sentient being. And then, you know, somebody comes and, you know, tell you something, then you're saying like, okay, accept this person, I'm not. It is, you know, that is just, you know, like you are using compassion as a word, you know. It's a to practice compassion is something that you have to do step by step, you know. First your beloved, and then your relative, friends, and your neighbors, you know, something like, and then there will be a chance that you will open your heart completely. And, you know, and I think, you know, I always say that that is just my reminder for you to, you know, just keep that word. Open your heart, and at the same time, open your mind also. You know, that is the good balance. If you open your heart, and if you close your mind, then it is not going to help you. It will bring a lot of suffering. Yeah. Many people, you know, facing a lot of trouble when they are, you know, when they are feeling love and when they are feeling compassion for other people, because at that time they open their heart to that person, but they close their mind to that person. No understanding at all. So that is, you know, something that if you open your heart to somebody, that means don't forget to open your mind also to that person. Then it will make a very good balance. You know, that is the balance that it will bring more happy. So, you know, that is just my conclusion and reminding you in your daily life. Okay? And I think that is just a brief talk on what is compassion and, you know, the practice of compassion. And I think if you have any question, and we have 10 minutes, right? And I will be happy to answer.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so very much. This is really timely because, as I mentioned, I'm going through a divorce, and it's you know, this is the father of my children, and, you know, it's after 25 years. And so this is a person that was my beloved, is now my legal enemy, and lots of strong feelings, you know. And it doesn't work, the relationship doesn't work anymore. And I often struggle with how to relate to him, and then also how to use my head, because I have to take care of myself, like you said, love oneself first, and also my children. You know, they still need some help, and so that your talk is going to help. I know it's going to help. I'll try to practice something of it, but it's extremely confusing when you compare the practice of compassion with divorce laws in California. because it really is, you know, it's a competition for resources, and so. I'm going to go home tonight and talk with my husband, and the only thing I can think of is like the Dalai Lama would talk about the Chinese, you know, and he would say, you know, my friend, the enemy, my friend, the enemy, and that's how my husband is now. I still love him, and I have compassion, but I have to use my head in how to deal with him, because he's crazy right now, and so I'm dealing with somebody who is crazy, you know, and you can have an open heart, and you can have compassion, but you still have to be alert, because it's like dealing with somebody that has a weapon or something. You have to do something. So that's my question back to you, my friend, the enemy, and yeah.
I don't have any experience of divorce. So, yeah, it's like, you know,
How about crazy people?
To deal, like, I will give you an example how we're dealing with the, you know, like how Tibetan people deals with the communist, you know, Chinese government, not with the people. And I never say, you know, that the Chinese people are not, you know, responsible for that. It is the view, you know, it is the communist view that, you know, is the responsible. So that is how we're looking at the Chinese. You know, that we are not blaming Chinese. We are blaming at their views. So something like, you know, that it is when you see some people or people who are mean to you, is maybe you should not blame him. Maybe that person was intoxicated by some affliction. You know, that is something like, if you think like that, you know, then you will not blame completely on that person. That complete, you know, when that is problem for everybody, that when we look at that person, you know, and then we just, you know, judge, we will come a judgment, mental mind. Something like our mind going into the positive, you know, or positive things of that person. And then, like, we feel like, oh, I love. And then we, you know, at that time, our mind is not focusing on that negative, because it is almost like we forget that negative part. And then when we see that negative part, then the anger arises or the hatred arises. So, like, in that way, it is like emotion is playing with us many times. You know, that mind see only that one, and then mind give some kind of information to our heart, and then it is playing with us, you know. So better, like, when I say about opening the mind, is something like when you look at one person, just experiment it. When you look at one person, if you are, you know, look at one person, look both sides of that person, positive side and the negative side, both. Okay. Just look, you know, because we have two eyes, right? So don't look, you know, only with one eyes, you know, like with the two eyes, look both of the side, one eye positive, one eye negative, okay? Then it will make you feel different. Then, you know, like, you will not feel completely anger to that person, you won't feel completely attachment to that person. So that is what I mean by opening your mind.
Yes.
You know, open your mind. Open your both of your eyes.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Could you speak to compassion as it relates to suffering? In my own personal experience, it's sort of a puzzlement that I experience suffering because of my attachment, but I am thankful for being able to experience it, because when I deal with my students, for example, having gone through great pain, I could sense those who were in great pain, and they didn't have to explain to me in words what they felt, because I felt what they felt.
Yeah.
And consequently, it changed my view towards them as their teacher. But I'm puzzled as to why I had to go through that suffering, and that suffering was in part because of my attachments. I see the value in it. Could you address suffering as it relates to compassion?
It is something like, you know, like, we all know right now about the compassion, is something like the compassion is mixed up with the unhappy or suffering or some kind of sadness. And you know, that maybe we don't accept the compassion without sadness or compassion without unhappy. Because as I say, because we didn't experience that kind of thing. So for this kind of compassion, maybe I will call ordinary compassion, you know, is maybe go through suffering. It has to go through suffering for the ordinary compassion. For the great compassion, like, or the genuine compassion, then I think it doesn't have to go through the suffering. It is, when I say, open your heart, open your mind, is also at that time you have to open your mind. And then it is completely different compassion. How should we open our mind at that time? To feel compassion to other people, for our one of beloved one who is suffering, you know, that time ask ourselves, okay, I'm feeling compassion to that person, and I'm also making myself unhappy feeling, is that going to help or not? That by feeling myself unhappy, feeling myself, making myself suffer, you know, is that going to help? Is that bringing more happiness to that person? Then I think it is okay. If that is going to, you know, clear the suffering of that person, then I think it is okay, but in reality it is not, right? And it will, something like, it is better instead of, you know, crying there, or instead of being unhappy, you know, with a saddened face in front of that, maybe it's better to do something, right, to help that person. So that is, I think, from the, you know, from our text, we say like that, to, you know, how should we not make unhappy when we are practicing compassion? It is something like, you know, for example, you know, for one person, feeling compassion makes sad like this or unhappy like that, then how is gonna be for feeling compassion for all the sentient being? You know, it is like full of burden, you know, like something like there is no chance to feel like, you know, happy at all, you know. So that is why the compassion, like what we say, the compassion or the genuine compassion which we can feel for everybody, that kind of compassion is not at all mixed up with the suffering. So for the ordinary suffering, I think it is good. And sometimes it will bring like a lot of, like sometimes, like for example, ordinary compassion is also helpful, you know, helpful in our daily life. So I'm not saying that ordinary compassion is, you know, very bad. And compassion, ordinary compassion is good in our life, but the best is the compassion which we can extend it to all the sentient being, which is without unhappy. Yeah.
Now, it's still a little bit confusing because the Buddha himself, he experienced suffering before he got enlightened, so... You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like he did go through that process, so I wonder if it is... I'm not saying it's a necessary process, but I can see how it is a gradual process to get to what you were just talking about, the genuine compassion.
Yeah, it is not something like you have to. You know, he was suffer. It is not his choice.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so it is like to develop compassion that we don't have to choose this to be suffer.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It is like he went through the suffering, that it was like he was an ordinary sentient being. You know, he was suffering. And it is also, you know, his to suffer at that time was not his choice, you know. So I'm saying that, like, you know, to develop compassion or the genuine compassion, that, you know, it is not necessary to choose to be suffer.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great relief.
Makes enlightenment much more desirable.
I've got some difficulty with the idea of developing
a path to happiness and exercise of compassion through the relative good fortune that I have. In other words, by looking at the suffering of others, because it seemed like kind of a negative path to my own happiness. Is that, what is your view about that?
It is something like, you know, looking at the suffering, and sometimes for the ordinary mind, you know, it will bring some kind of like a, like we cannot deal with that. And it will, sometimes it will make some kind of, you know, suffering or something like that. But to deal with this kind of thing, I think that, you know, just being like opening our mind or making more understanding, you know, more to make our mind more strong, you know, and then I think that will help. It is not something like to make ourselves unhappy, we are looking at the other people, you know, because the motivation is different. Motivation is to feel compassion for that person that we are looking for suffering, you know, looking at the suffering of other sentient being, you know. So that is why that motivation, you know, without having motivation, just for fun, if we are looking for other sentient beings suffering, then it will definitely, you know, kind of affect you, you know. Then it is to help those person or to develop compassion with a motivation like that, I think then, I think we can deal with that. So, okay, yours last question.
What are your views on compassion for oneself?
Compassion for oneself is something like caring for oneself, you know, taking care of oneself in a good way to make ourselves happy, you know. So that is same as, you know, taking care of other sentient being is a compassion for other sentient being, caring, you know, and caring for oneself is also feeling compassion for oneself. And then, you know, I remind something that
thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.